KW1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Hurricane Milton, I'm Sherry Preston.
I want to commend everyone out there that heeded the emergency evacuation order. Definitely saved lives.
Tampa Police Chief Lee Burkaw thanking those who got out of Milton's path and thanking his first responders as well.
We were dispatched to a call where 15 people were in a house where the tree had fell on the house and water was coming in the house. There were children in the house, and we were able to get officers out there safely and rescue 15, including young children.
Tampa Mayor Jane Castor says as the sun comes up, they are just now starting to get a good look at the damage. But those in homes who are safe should stay there.
Please don't go outside. Definitely don't drive around. Don't go through standing water. And make sure if you see any trees or wires down, call and report those, and we will get them fixed as quickly as we can.
More than 3 million power outages as of now across Florida. This is ABC News. Tesla's getting ready to unveil a new vehicle tonight at an event in California.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk has called it the Cybercab, a self-driving taxi that would operate much like the rideshare service Uber does, just without any drivers.
That would allow these specialized vehicles, or who knows, maybe even passenger Teslas, to operate on this robo-taxi network.
But Inside EV's Patrick George says Tesla is facing a litany of federal and state investigations into the safety of its current driver assistance technology, which the company calls Autopilot. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The project was originally slated for release in August, but it faced several delays. Another recall due to listeria concerns. No illnesses have been reported this time, but Oklahoma-based Bruce Pack has recalled over 9 million pounds of ready-to-eat meat and poultry items. Department of Agriculture says it discovered the issue after routine testing of its poultry products. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Clean, safe water is critical for our families, farms, and future. Jane Benson chooses our health over big business profits. Vote Benson for State Assembly District 4.
I'm Jane Benson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Jane Benson.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials are warning about a disease fatal to deer commonly known as EHD. The Department of Natural Resources has confirmed cases in deer from Chippewa, Jackson, and Waukesha counties. EHD is spread by insects that bite. Humans can't get it. Anyone who sees a sick or dead deer is urged to contact the DNR. Wisconsin crews are standing by to help Florida recover from Hurricane Milton. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Power crews from Cedarburg, Oconomowoc, and Hartford are preparing to assist with recovery efforts. We Energies is also sending a team of over 24 workers down to help restore power and mitigate the impact of the hurricane. To find out how you can help, visit civicmedia.us/help. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Los Angeles Lakers tonight in a preseason matchup. At practice yesterday, head coach Doc Rivers discussed how he's teaching some of the new Bucks players how to read opposing defenses.
I'm trying to get them to see the reads, the typical basketball reads, because the more you can do that, you can literally put all kinds of things in, and then your offense becomes dynamic.
NFL Packers nearly all back at practice yesterday as they play the Cardinals Sunday. The only player out, defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt. Fournette with an ankle injury. Romeo Doubs was back but did not speak to reporters. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play Rutgers. Quarterback Braden Locke asked, how much do they adjust the game plan for Rutgers' tough defense?
Yes, I think you game plan it differently, but it's still our offense. It's still doing things within what we do. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel over here. You know, we're going to do what we do and take advantage of, you know, what I'm good at and what I can process and all that.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We only have a couple more days of this fairly mild summer-like weather before things change. We're talking highs dropping into the 50s by late weekend into next week. Today, sunny, 70, 51 tonight. We'll get to around 78 for a high tomorrow, then Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 63. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a heads up about debt collection scams. Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau will be here. Alexander Vindman in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. Heading into the second hour of a good look at Thursday. 40 degrees in Green Bay, 48 in Appleton, 41 in Oshkosh. Coming your way across the world on the Civic Media app. Once again, throwing it out there, who's listening furthest away? And do we have anybody in Florida that can text us and tell us how things are going down there? Well, we have a special guest in the audience, in the studio right now, yeah. Rob Momartz, local illustrator, book illustrator. Got this one, The Monstrous Adventures of Mummy Man and Waffles. Now, tell us a little bit all about how somehow you got your name on the cover of a book, being an illustrator. This kid from Ashwaubenon High School, and now you're a big-time illustrator. First of all, good morning, Rob. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about big time, but...
It's pretty cool. My name is Wen. It's short for Wendo. This is a cool story that builds on really unique characters. But tell us about this book. We haven't read it yet because you just gave it. We just got it, but yeah, it looks great.
It's a middle grade chapter book.
Right, 8 to 12 is your focus?
8 to 12, and it's a good book for this time of year, being close to Halloween, and there's a lot of really weird, strange, bizarre characters in it.
As it says on the cover, a nonstop thrill, chill, and slimy spill ride.
Yeah. Right. so it's basically about a kind of an awkward kid that doesn't have many friends, and he's like a preteen, and he ends up spending the summer with his grandfather, who was a retired special effects artist at his creepy house up in Maine. So, and then
Jim doesn't like Maine.
You don't?
Go ahead.
He spent a lot of money to go see the leaves, and he came back, and they were better here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd been to 49 states. The only one I hadn't been to was Maine. And I just said to my wife, look, we got to go. So we went to Maine, and everybody said, oh, if you're going to go to Maine, oh, my God, you got to go drain leafing. And so we went out there and spent the fortune and it was great. I love Maine. And we did a lot out there, you know, on the boat and lobster, but Wisconsin's beautiful too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anyway, back to your, but Maine's a great setting, I'm sure.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, Stephen King does all his writing.
Right.
Been there,
that's right.
So, so I'm just kind of guessing what it looks like. So if you look at the backgrounds, they're kind of basic, but look very Wisconsin-ish. there's a lot of really weird characters, and it was a lot of fun to design the different characters in the story. And the two main characters I did several designs for, and it's fun to look back and see how much they changed and compared to the versions that they picked. And that's one of the hard things about working on these books is when you're drawing the characters, as time goes on, they kind of evolve while you're drawing them. And a lot of times I have to go back and digitally alter the drawings so they look consistent.
I have so much envy and respect for people that can just take a pencil and sit here and sketch something like these characters and everything. And it's weird that they say all people are created equal, but we're really not. No. I mean, you were given some, I mean, I'm sure you had to work at it and develop it, but somewhere along the line, you got a chromosome that just said, okay, I can draw.
Well, I'm kind of a one-trick pony, though. That's about what all I can do, fortunately.
But there's pictures in the book, right? There's illustrations, but there's a lot of writing. Like, are you writing as well?
No, Steve Bailing, he lives in New York, outside, not too far outside of New York City. We've actually never met. We talk on the phone quite a bit. We've become pretty good friends during this process. But he had written the book a long time ago, actually. And the book was delayed for about a year. So I actually finished I'm actually working on the second book right now. So I'm on a kind of a tight deadline for that. So I've been staying up pretty late. I have a day job working for a game company. And
working for a what company?
A board game and collectibles company. They're in California, and I work down in the basement, in my basement. Basically.
Doing kind of, what kind of stuff for them?
Illustration, yeah.
Wow, okay.
And like conceptual stuff for collectibles.
So your full-time job is as an illustrator?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I do the books on the side.
So the guy in New York, you guys hooked up over the internet, I'm assuming. But anyway, did you read the book and design the characters, or did he tell you that? Tell me about how that works, because that's, you guys never met. I think that's kind of cool that one guy's a writer, one guy's the illustrator.
I think he found my work on Instagram and presented my work to HarperCollins. And I have an agent now, which is great.
HarperCollins is big time.
I was going to say, I saw that in the back.
His daughter's a publisher.
Yeah, New York. Yeah.
Who does she work for?
She's with Atlantic Grove.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's.
Who did she have lunch with or something the other day?
Yeah. I don't want to drop names, but they only
like one of the biggest names in the country.
I just want to say that they do a lot of, they're very selective, and they do a lot of like your second, third book type authors, right? So that's what they kind of do. They don't take a lot of new stuff. But anyway, you need a good publisher, and Harper is obviously one of them.
Yeah, I was very lucky. Previously, I illustrated a book series for Penguin, and it's called
another big name.
Claude, Evil Alien Warlord Cat. It actually did six books, which was fun. And that one was done in a pretty short amount of time. There weren't as many illustrations there are in this newest book here, but that was a really fun experience for me, and it kind of prepared me for this. So,
what's your back? You had to be that kid in art club, like we talked. I was joking with you in between. If I had your talents, I would have won that Nagani Fire Department contest for the best fire prevention poster. You know what I mean? Because I had my mom's pack of cigarettes glued on there and the whole thing. And I had your talent, I would have won that versus being devastated every year.
Johnny, where's my cigarettes?
Right,
what did you do with those?
What did you do with my smoke?
Every character, his mom, the firemen, they're all stick people. And that just didn't
They matter. Were, pretty much, yeah. I mean, from the time you were a little kid, were you just one of those guys that just came to you naturally?
Yeah, yeah. I always loved drawing since I was two or three years old. I still have a lot of my mom kept a lot of my old art, and I go through that, and there's some
that's
really
very
weird
cool
stuff. And it's,
I'll tell you what, when you like, I was looking for something the other day, Jim says, are you a hoarder? Because I was trying to find my old ACT thing. And I found some of the things from my oldest daughter from when she was like in kindergarten or whatever. You know, and it's like, wow, you want to talk about just one of those pangs in your chest?
Yeah.
It's like, I wish I would have saved so much more of that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Well, some of it's damaged from being in boxes in the attic and all, you know, but yeah, it brings back a lot of memories. I also found a lot of like papers from teachers that were like math sheets where I had like drawings, detailed drawings on it over the math problems. And I was like, this is not art class. This is math.
That's awesome.
You know what? You took your chromosome and ran with
it. Right. You're an illustrator. Do you advertise then? Look, I'm illustrating, or do people find you? And because, right. I mean, there's the copy, right? There's the narrative part. And then some people want pictures, and maybe some people don't, right?
Well, for a book like this is
you
the
have
vital
to,
well, part of it.
8 to 12, yeah.
Yeah, the nice thing about these books, I mean, it's not obviously not a picture book, but there are a lot of illustrations, but it's for this age level. I guess they don't need as many pictures. But
right,
it's
you want
kind
them
of
to read, but it still kind of checks it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's a nice transition for kids that are getting into reading more. I mean, like I know graphic novels are also a really good... this is kind of an in-between thing for graphic novels and regular traditional.
So this is kind of a Harry Potter type thing? Like in terms of... these people. No. A lot of characters, and it's not real. These are all.
Yeah, I mean they're all, you know, strange characters.
Right.
I mean, the human characters are normal, but
is that your specialty? Drawing these types of strange characters.
I would think so. I like, obviously, cartooning is my specialty, and weird monster type characters. That's right up my alley.
You got a feeling you drew like dragons when you were a kid?
Yes. Like that? Yeah. I went to Ashwaubenon High School and I did a lot of the artwork for all like the athletic programs and
oh cool
and so the Jaguar and the I used to do put him in all these weird scenarios and
oh that's awesome
yeah it was fun.
I gotta ask you who told you or what made you think like I can make a living doing this, because art you might think is kind of like it's on the side,
fun thing to do,
look, I gotta get serious about life. Like, you're making a living on this, you got kids, you got a family, you're living well.
It's tough. I mean, it's because sometimes these projects, they come in very sporadically. I'm glad I have a full-time job doing illustration, which is I'm very lucky. I've been at this place for 13 years, which is crazy, and I'm just lucky that I can do this full-time. It is hard to find jobs and schedule them, and you know. And sometimes the hard thing is if you're in the middle of a job and you're cranking on something and somebody comes in with a project that you'd really like to take, but unfortunately you cannot take it because you're under deadline. And I've ran into that a couple times, more than a couple times.
That's kind of a good problem to have, though.
It is. You know? But sometimes then you go in these stretches where you don't have anything and you're just doing your own personal artwork, which is great.
Yeah. So are you going to have your own series? I mean, you're... The guy's writing. Are you going to get into the writing side of it, or you think there's plenty to do just in illustration?
Well, there's plenty to do with just illustration. I've always wanted to be a writer. That's why I'm jealous of John here for his books. But
you can illustrate mine anytime you want.
it's one of those things. That's a magical thing to me, is just being able to
do both.
To do both, and just to be able to structure a story and that's a talent I wish I had. But I do have a lot of characters that I eventually would like to try to write some stories for and maybe do a self-publishing thing or present some of my ideas to some
publisher. We had a guy on our show that he's on Broadway, and he had characters. Remember that? He brought in some artwork and had characters that he was building on. And I don't know. I think sometimes it takes, you know, meeting someone, but to have something that's not like human, right? That's a little bit more character or cartoon.
Yeah.
It's not really cartoony funny. It's more cartoon illustrated.
Well, you can get away with a lot more doing cartoony things, like drawing. Like in this next book I'm working on, there's a car, and I'm terrible at drawing cars. So this car is kind of fantastical looking, so it makes it a little easier. I can cheat a lot of things on it, the perspective and the, you know.
What advice would you give us kids out there that's where the art teacher says, you could have a future in this? Give them some advice.
Well, just be persistent and keep drawing. Draw every day. Don't let anything hold you back. It can be a frustrating career as far as like rejection. But just don't get discouraged. Keep being creative, do your own thing. You know, if someone's not hiring you for something, do your own thing.
Can people locally contact you, or would you rather not? You get enough gigs?
I'm pretty busy right now. But yeah.
That's awesome.
This is so awesome.
Yeah, where to get the book? I mean, this is a cool book. I want to take a look at it.
Mummy Man and Waffles.
Yes.
And where's this?
You can get it at any bookstore. I'm actually doing a signing on Sunday at Lion's Mouth.
Sunday at Lion's Mouth, right time?
At noon, right during the Packer game.
Fantastic. That's all right. Bring the kids out there.
If anyone's looking for a babysitter during the game.
Thank you so much for stopping by, Rob. So impressive.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Rob Molmarts from Ashwaubenon.
Your second book.
Worldwide illustrator. Back after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Autumn is in the air, and like the leaves, prices are falling at Harbor Freight's parking lot sale this weekend. We've got tons of products on sale, like 3-ton jacks for under $100, 5,000-watt generators $250 off, plus dual bevel miter saws at nearly half the price of the competition. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 10/13/24. While supplies last, so hurry in. Limitations apply.
Our record energy costs, putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes. With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
The kick is up and wide left.
Why don't they customize the goalposts? Make them wider.
Gina Della from Pella, how'd you get into the booth?
And why just yellow? Add some green stripes.
Sure, Gina. Should they also remove the G at midfield and paint a Pella crest?
Okay, Wayne, you can't customize a football game to go the way you want, but Pella can customize your home the way you want.
Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. It's 10/31/2024.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Thank you very much to Rob Momartz again. The talent that some people have and others don't.
Right here, you know?
Yeah.
Green Bay, this guy. And
once again, book signing noon on Sunday. The Lions head down here. We're joined. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am, John. How are you?
Good, buddy. This is our great friend, Mike Pritzel, who's a big fan, a big member of our program. And normally he's out climbing mountains in Colorado or Wyoming or something and still listening to us out there. But, Mike, tell us what you are doing this weekend.
Well, I am honored and have the opportunity to travel as a member of the American Red Cross and just go provide some relief assistance for the next couple of weeks. I really don't know exactly, what I'll be doing. You know, sheltering, feeding, whatever they, when they ask you, and when you're qualified, you basically say the following: you just tell me what you need me to do, and I'll do it. So. This is my first national deployment. I'm fairly new, but I couldn't have gotten through quicker. I really wanted to help, and I'm a little nervous, but I'm pretty excited as well.
Oh, that's great. Is that through the Green Bay or Appleton? What chapter are you going through on the Red Cross?
Merit. It's actually the Green Bay chapter.
Isn't that nice? So you're not going alone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you get down
actually,
there?
Guys, I'm actually leaving. And this is so interesting to me. This whole process has been incredible. And watching these organizations function and try to organize this stuff, anybody that can go right now out of Green Bay is probably already there. I'm fairly new, so I did what I could to qualify. And essentially, the process is pretty intense. I mean, they really do a heck of a job with communication and set up. So yesterday I spent I spent some time with those folks, and now I have a plane ticket that I will be leaving at about 6:45 tomorrow morning, getting in sometime, actually going into Miami. And then from there, you do go through your orientation, and then we will move. I assume we will be moving much further north.
Right, right.
So Mike, with something like this, were there certain I mean, you're an incredibly fit guy. Like I said, you climb mountains and things like that. Were there certain qualifications that they saw and said, okay, we want you versus maybe me or Jim, so to speak?
I would tell you that there certainly are qualifications, but there is something for everyone. And anytime someone thinks that maybe they can't help, they can. And you think about the tens of thousands of people that are helping, whether it's giving money or time or blood. I've got a friend of mine, Chris Mooring. She organized and had a full semi-truck and continues to help with the folks that were affected in the last hurricane and will do so for the folks, that are going through stuff now. You know, Mr. Burkle.
Yeah.
these people have monster heart, but, you know, a lot of people do. It's just not everybody is out in the forefront. So I think there's something for everyone to do, whether that is giving blood or giving $5. You know, money is an important piece of this. A lot of times people want to give goods and things like that, and that's a good thing. But from a distribution standpoint, that can be challenging.
Right. Mike, so how do you know how long you're going to be there? Did you sign up for a time frame?
It is a 2-week. Basically, you are asked to go for 2 weeks. Now, what I have communicated to them is that I could, you know, depending upon what they need, I could be flexible. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I am going to go and do what I can.
Did your military background help with that, Mike? You getting signed up?
You know what? Yeah, you know, I will tell you that my military background is part of the reason that I wanted to be part of the American Red Cross. So it's not only this stuff that we do. I actually got to go to my first fire this week and see how the American Red Cross helps those individuals that have been affected by fire. In fact, I met a friend of yours from Midwest Restoration when I was at one of the scenes. So
probably Ryan?
So I don't know. You know, sometimes it's a little chaotic. So I'm just learning and trying to mind my own business, keep my mouth shut, which isn't always easy for me.
So is that the Howard Fire, the apartment complex?
No, this one was down in the valley. So it was just a single family. But again, it's part of that is, you know, I when asking a lot of these questions, they're like, you know, is this stuff you can do? I'm like, well, the military background piece of it, you know, provides, you know, you've been through a lot of chaos. So chaos doesn't really affect you much, even though we know it will.
Right. Comfortable with chaos is what they say.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, God bless you for doing this.
Yeah,
I mean,
agree,
sounds like
Mike.
You really
proud
signed
you.
Up and kind of pushed us a little bit because you have a, what's it? You have a passion for helping people. I think this is great. It's going to be interesting to talk to you
When you get back.
Yeah, but go ahead. Are you looking forward to anything in particular? I mean, there's so much that has to be done down there. It's incredible.
Mind-boggling.
Ugh, man.
Where do you start type thing?
I think for me, it's, you know, when you go through a lot of this training, and you too especially know about volunteering, and you know what it feels like when you look at somebody and say, how can I help you? Or you give them a hug, you put your hand on their shoulder. That is really what a lot of this is about. And that is really what I'm looking forward to. I can tell you that I know it's going to be, this is not easy. You know, odds are you're sleeping in a cot in a gymnasium somewhere.
Right.
I have the ability to do this. I'm a realtor. I've got such a great support system at Shore West. And folks that are going to help take care of me and my clients while I'm gone, that it allows me to do this. And, of course, I got a great family. You know, they look at me and say, this is what you want to do and what you got to do, so go do. So I'm going to go do.
That's a great family.
Proud of you, Mike. Yeah. No lie, proud of you. I've known you for a million years, but I've never been more proud of you.
Yeah, I've come a long way since you first met me, John.
Yeah. You know what? You should be in here right now in your other regalia. We've got Fang, the Timber Rattlers mascot, in the house here today.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, have a good time. And you know what? I might check in on occasion with you guys.
We'd like
next
that.
Week, we would love that, Mike. Please, please do. Mike used to be the mascot for UW Green Bay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you're saying that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was the only mascot that used to get in fights with opposing fans.
That's true.
Mike, listen, buddy. Be safe. Please report back from Florida or North. Yeah, Florida, where you're going, not North Carolina. But please let us know how it's going. If you can send us some pictures, that would be awesome.
I will do what they allow me to do because
right. There
are certainly rules. But you guys keep doing what you're doing. Love the show, and I'll be in touch.
And let us know what we can do to help, okay, buddy?
All right, take care.
Thank you. Mike Pritzel heading to Florida with the Red Cross tomorrow morning. Wow, that's phenomenal. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the Fang and some people from the Timber Rattlers. But a great Halloween event they've got taking place at the ballpark. Back after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Commodity brokers are watching South America as they kick off their delayed planting season thanks to recent rains. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday morning. We'll talk about it next.
Whether you're in the market to buy or sell, count on Steffes Group for any and all of your equipment this harvest season. Thinking about retirement or a career change? Steffes Group can support your next steps with reliable auction services. Visit steffesgroup.com today to see a full list of upcoming auctions in your area or nationwide, or to contact your local representative. That's steffesgroup.com.
Brazil finally has moisture in the ground. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says that means planting season can begin in earnest for our southern competitors.
Yeah, they're a couple weeks behind, but the bulk of their planting occurs, you know, here now within the next basically month. So if the weather forecasts improve, they'll continue to push the planters. It's an interesting, you know, here we want some moisture in the soil. Down there, they wait for the moisture before they push the planters forward. You know, we want things to dry out before producers start rolling in our area. So it's a different mentality just because of the extremeness of the weather and just how that country lays out in terms of its, you know, overall geography.
Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. He says the comfortable amount of moisture in South America is going to put pressure on U.S. trade. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a look at our morning commodity markets next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Commodity prices are seeing a pop to kick off a Wednesday. From Chicago, December corn is up a penny and three quarters at 422 and a half. November soybeans are up a nickel and three quarters at 1022 a bushel. Cash wheat is up a nickel and a quarter at $6 a bushel. And July 2025 new crop wheat is up a nickel at 643 and a half. On the close yesterday from Chicago, cheese prices were down. Barrel cheese down a nickel and a quarter at $1.88, and the 40-pound block cheese closing down 2 cents at $1.92 and three quarters. But today, Class 3 milk prices are moving higher. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. The November contract is up 11 cents at $21.24 a hundredweight, and December Class 3 milk is up 13 cents at $20.78. That's your market update on a Wednesday morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have you
ever reserve your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Go to fishonmarinette.com to learn more.
We only have a couple more days of this fairly mild summer-like weather before things change. We're talking highs dropping into the 50s by late weekend into next week. Today, sunny, 70, 51 tonight. We'll get to around 78 for a high tomorrow. Then Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 63. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Get your tickets today for the premier fall event, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues in Marinette, Wisconsin. Featuring six elite barbecue chefs, award-winning craft beer, and two iconic blues musicians. Kicking off the night, Hall of Fame inductee Joe Moss. Have you ever loved a woman? Following Joe Taranzo Cannon. Playing tunes from his current number one album, Shut Up and Play. November 2nd at the Community Rec, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. Go to fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig for more information.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
And don't forget that if you'd like to help out with the hurricane relief, you can go to civicmedia.us/help. That's civicmedia.us/help. Hurricane relief for Hurricane Helene victims and also what's going on with Hurricane Milton. Civicmedia.us/help. You can go there and choose the folks that you'd like to help out.
Really look forward to talking to Mike either next week or when he comes back about what it's really like boots on the ground.
We will definitely stay in touch with
him. And I just
want
to say that civicmedia.us, I was on that website last night. They're all vetted.
Yes.
Those are, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you hear these stories, it's like, oh man, $50 has just gone to vapor. Whereas these, well, I think there's four or five organizations on there that are really, the money's going to get where it needs to go. So yeah, civicmedia.us/help.
And if you're watching, we don't mean to laugh. What? But if you're watching on the street, look right behind us here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a little different. All right. We'll change. All right. We'll change it up.
If you're watching, we've got Fang hanging out right behind. Was Fang like 7 feet tall? Yeah. How tall is Fang?
Fang is tall enough.
Wow. Hey, we got a very, very special guest talking about a very, very special project. Go ahead and introduce yourselves because you guys told us during the break and you guys did it better than we could do it. So go ahead, introduce yourselves and talk about what a great event is going on for kids coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Kyle with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, here with Kayla from Shields, and we're going to be hosting a trick-or-treat event at the ballpark coming up here in a couple weeks, and I'll let Kayla kind of touch on it a little bit more.
Yep, so on Thursday, October 24th, we'll be hosting trick-or-treat at the ballpark with the Timber Rattlers. It runs from 3:30 to 6:30, and it takes place all across through the concourse. You start, get a goodie bag from Shields, get some other items from some of our local partners, too. And then you close out with some food trucks in the parking lot.
You can let the kids go into the weight room that you guys got there now?
Yeah, unfortunately. So the weight room won't be open, but okay. Everything on the concourse, so nice enclosed area, very safe. Don't have to worry about vehicles or anything like that while you're trick-or-treating through the concourse.
And you get pretty good participation. I mean, you've got such a great facility over there.
Oh, the parking's, that's what I mentioned. The weight parking's room, easy. It's better than most major league teams.
It just the concourse, wide enough. Kids dress up, I take it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we get lots of kids and families dressing up. So parents, you're more than welcome.
All right.
And we get, I think if I remember from last year, we get close to 2,000 people.
Wow.
That's awesome. I mean, that's
great setting, great parking, safe, as Jim was saying. And,
And Shields, I mean, just thank you for all you do. You guys do a lot. I mean, this trick-or-treat thing, I know is something you partnered, with the stadium to do. But, throughout the year, you do a lot of good things. And I just want to give you a shout out. I used to work in politics and, your name came
still
up on
does.
A lot of things. Your name came up
biggest
a lot.
Morning.
Biggest politician on radio.
Absolutely.
Your name came up a lot. As did,
who's the guy you were the governor of Huckabee, the governor of Arkansas, then he became a talk show guy, then he went back into politics, whatever. Yeah.
And that could happen again.
Hopefully soon.
That's not funny. Hey, so Fang, tell...
Yeah, Fang,
he's
like,
is he the star of your trick-or-treating? Will he be there? Will he be there to greet the kids?
Correct, yep. So Fang and Whiffer. So Fang's best friend, Whiffer, they'll both be dressed up. Right. So they will be, so Shields will be, as you guys enter, get the goodie bag from Shields. And then on the way out, Timber Rattlers are the last one on the way out. And then the food trucks in the parking lot. So Fang and Whiffer will be dressed up. So make sure you guys bring out your best costumes and, show them up.
Jim was bragging the other day that he already went and bought his Halloween candy. And he's given like full-size candy bars and spent like $1,000. Whatever.
Neighborhood's pretty. People come to our neighborhood. It's just
you're the cool house.
Yeah,
everybody comes and for the full size candy bars.
Kyle
and I will show up.
And I'm sure they're going to get great things at your place. What's cool about yours is you're giving them the bag.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Shields has candy already pre-put into the bag, and then as you go through the concourse, other partners have either more candy or they'll have other goodies for people, either like a free pass, say, to a trampoline park. We've been hearing rumors about. Other goodie bags goodies that kids will really love.
What happens if you get like those 15-year-old guys that are 6 foot tall and they just have like a pillowcase for a bag coming up?
Everyone's welcome.
Don't judge,
don't discriminate. Everyone deserves candy no matter how old. If you guys want to show up.
See, I was just going to say, Mino was actually asking for himself.
Right.
Like if he just showed up with a pillowcase.
What's the oldest you ever tricked or treat at?
Ah, man, it's been a long time.
Jim? I was 8th grade.
Eighth grade.
Is that too old?
No.
That's
not at
okay.
All. God,
no.
We went in 8th grade. I'm thinking we went past that.
Okay, so get this. We went to the nuns' rectory, okay? And they're like,
get a
what do you think you're doing? You're not getting anything. Save that for the... They tore into us that we were too old, me and DeLangelo.
I didn't even realize nuns gave out candy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did.
I would go there.
Huh?
Who the heck would go there?
That was very nice.
We didn't go there. We went to houses. And you know houses that give out better stuff. And look, at your place, I'm sure there's just some awesome things the kids are going to pick up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be a really fun night. And then there'll be some activities. Some of them do little activities at their station, too. So,
oh, cool.
This sounds fantastic.
Candy and activities.
Beautiful.
Right. And free parking, can I assume that, too? So absolutely. It is. It's a free event for the family to come to.
Doesn't absolutely. Matter what the weather is going to be like.
That's cool too.
Yep. So it'll be undercover. Great. So it's in the on the concourse, so undercover. So the only time you're outside of cover is from the vehicle into the stadium, really.
Fantastic.
And bring your phones because picture with Fang, I hope.
Absolutely.
All right. That'd be cool.
How is Fang as far as getting pictures taken with kids? Was he okay? Because he's a little intimidating. He like was. When he walked in the door here, he's a little intimidating.
7 feet tall with those fangs? Yeah. Yes. Yep.
And you asked, how old can you be to trick or treat Fang's going on, 25 now? So he just celebrated his 26? Whoa, what do we got? Almost 30 now.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's getting up there, and he's still trick-or-treating, so.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as they're respectful, please trick-or-treat. Thank you. We'll give it out to anybody.
Mino, if you're walking down a dark alley, and you run into Fang, what are you doing?
I can't run very fast. Like I said, he's an intimidating-looking mascot back there. You know what I think is cool, though? Shields and, talk about two entities that could be, they could big time the area if they wanted to. And they don't. You guys get right down to the grassroots, both organizations. Because this isn't the only one that you guys, both you guys do. I think that's so awesome that you guys do this kind of thing.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we've been great partners with Shields. It's a great partnership that we look to continue to, really see thriving in the future. We're both very inscribed in the Fox Valley, and we're looking to continue to grow that community and offer opportunities for families alike to go out and enjoy the ballpark and other community
and that's true,
events.
But I know people from a long ways away that come down to Timber Rattler games. I mean, Fox Valley's great, but you're almost like a statewide thing. Because, the thing is, it's cool, and we were talking about this the other day. We had the president of the Wisconsin Herd on, and I just, when I used to cover the old Foxes, Appleton Foxes, you guys weren't alive, but back in those days, and they were an affiliate of like Seattle and then somebody else and whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's great, but you'll never see these guys again. But like the playoff game the other day, two former Timber Rattlers combined for 3 home runs in that game. So it's like cool with the Herd. You can go watch these guys. And it's like next week they might be playing for the Bucks. And with the Timber Rattlers, with the guys that come through there, we're watching future Brewers. I think that is such a cool entity, what we've got going on here now of professional sports versus our major league type teams. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. And like you said, so we're now the affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers, and that relationship is solidified through 2030. So we'll be seeing young guys that are going to be contributing to the Brewers here for years to come, and let's hope we can, make it out of the wild card round.
Let's not even talk about that.
As the corporate guy, I think it's cool how you utilize that stadium for more than baseball. Madison's having their first, concert in 20-some years, and I think Lambeau Field we could leverage a little bit more. But, you've got everything from the president there. We always go for the Packer softball. You utilize that for fundraisers. There's just a lot of cool things, and I that's good management.
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe we just looked at the other day for 2024, we're at 154 plus events on top of our baseball games. So we play 66 home games and then another almost 170 days of utilizing the ballpark. Like you said, corporate events. We've hosted proms. Yeah. So we've done prom weddings. Last weekend we had a bunch of weddings.
I've been to corporate banquets upstairs.
Yeah. And some nonprofit organizations you've been very, very good to.
Absolutely.
And now with Shields being, you are the sought after company to go to. Are Hoka shoes on sale? I'm just kidding.
What kind of shoes? Because I was going to ask her about something too, but I didn't think I should.
They've got everything there.
You should have come to our ladies' night last weekend.
Ladies' night, you had that?
Yeah, we did. It was very successful. We had 250 tickets sold and had a wait list. So we'll see you guys there next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Keep us posted on the. No, I love your store because you've got such a variety.
I like just walking around, kind of window shopping.
Inside. Right.
It's a beautiful store, and some of our other stores have a full size Ferris wheel, an aquarium. Candy stores too. Maybe one day Appleton will grow to be that big.
Neat.
Wow.
Very cool. I need some new binoculars.
All right. We'll see you there.
For the high school football games.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
What? How old are the ones that you have?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
They're way back.
They probably put it, yeah.
Way, way, way back.
There's binoculars that you take a picture and then send the picture.
Really?
I have those.
I didn't. Well, of course you have those.
What do you use that for?
When you hunt?
It seems a little creepy.
Although, you know what? He actually was. You know what? I will say something about this.
It's not.
This guy went mountain goat hunting one time.
I did.
What? Yes. And he's got a. He never showed it to us, but he says he's got a mountain goat head.
I do. I have it. I went. Anyway, that's.
It's on like on the
wall. I didn't get my gun from you guys. I got it somewhere else. But anyway, the.
It's in his linen cabinet if you're looking for it.
back to the partnership. How do you find things with the corporate sponsorship when you're trying to do things like this about the community? Shields obviously is not easy. Nothing's easy, but I mean, they're very, very supportive.
Correct. Yeah. So as Kayla kind of mentioned, so they had been hosting an event at the store, and we had been hosting an event at the ballpark, and we really wanted to combine forces and make this an event completely available to the public and make it a little bit larger. So getting that name out there to co-brand with the Timber Rattlers just makes a ton of sense. It's a lot of conversations and relationship building. So, you know, you know people, and they always say it's about who you know, not what you know. So building those relationships and really just continuing to forge those and continue to grow and make the community the best place to live.
You know, I told our Nikki here about years and years. I go so far back when they were having the big discussion, should we build a new stadium or stay at Goodland Field? And I remember talking to one of the guys, an old-time guy with him. He says, biggest mistake could ever possibly make is moving out of Goodland Field, because one of the cool things we have here is these kids come to the game on their bikes. When they build that new stadium, you won't see a kid in the ballpark. And it's like, I've never seen more kids at one place than your stadium on a regular basis. So this is so cool that you incorporate all this.
So some of our listeners have kids, and some kids listen. Tell me just real quickly, Fang, you can't talk, but they can speak for you. You all have three great jobs, right? You're a corporate director. You run the marketing at Shields, I take it?
I do all of our community involvement.
Right.
That's awesome.
Those are great jobs because it's a stepping stone toward politics if you want to run for office.
Like, oh, God. Lord.
You're doing all good stuff.
Not for me, nice
ballot. Two things he does here. Let me just say, two things he does on a regular basis. Todd, back me up on this, or just agree if you like that. Two things he does when somebody impresses him, he tries to steer them to get into politics.
We need good people.
And then one sooner or later, we have about 2 minutes left, something, the word financial will come into play here.
Who pays for this?
Exactly. So just want to give you guys a little heads up.
Right, Fang has deep pockets.
Yeah, so there you go. Okay. But really, somebody wants to get into either of your lines of work. Or then tell me how Fang got his gig.
Yeah, so for us, so internships just got posted.
Nice.
We do internships starting normally in January. We have some that start in January. And then March, and our season starts in April. So we have we normally have about 20 to 25 interns. So a lot of us get started as interns with the team.
Including your team president and owner?
Right. Correct, yeah. So yeah. Rob, our team president and owner, started as an intern and now awesome. up at the top.
That's amazing.
And so for us, we are really big about promoting within our store. I'm one of the few people who was an external hire, but the rest of our marketing team were internal transfers or started out as cashiers or part-time associates moving up.
Love that.
But each of our stores have its own local marketing team, too. So we focus 100% on our Fox Cities area.
Love
to make
it.
Sure it's the best place to be.
Love it.
How about this guy? Or Gail? I don't even know what thing.
So
pick up the tail and check.
I've never known how to tell the difference between a male and a female snake. I never have.
You know, you got to try out and be able to show that you're able to interact with those kids and show that energy and really get the fans involved and constantly entertain. That's what we're looking for.
Be in pretty good shape.
Do you know who had the most fun at the ballpark at your ballpark this year?
One of you two, I assume.
No.
We did, but...
But yeah, no. You know who seemed to have the most fun the entire time? The man that was on Jeopardy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Chan. Yep. Yeah, so he got to throw out a first pitch.
Yeah. And did he do the brat bazooka,
shot
too?
The brat bazooka. Yeah. So that was really cool to see him out and enjoying
He was digging that.
That's awesome.
He talked about it. So.
Well, once again, thank Kyla, you. Kayla... Fang, thank you for being here. Thanks for doing stuff for our local kids. I just think it's fantastic, the combination you guys put together for this. What's the date again?
October 24th.
From?
3:30 to 6:30 at Timber Rattler Stadium, Trick or Treat.
Well, what's the name of your stadium?
Yeah, so Neuroscience Group Field.
All right. Okay, it's Candlestick Park.
Miller Park. Thank you guys for being here. Fang?
Fang.
Quiet down. All right. We just let her quick break. Back up.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Man, that's a good group. That was
great
fun.
Group.
Yeah, that's
Shields. Well, they Wisconsin Tib Rattlers teaming up for kids. I love it.
Right, Halloween safe place. You get, and you don't even have to bring the bag or the, as you brought, the pillowcase.
well, you know why though?
You know what I did? Go ahead.
You want to know why? Because I
you
had
fit more.
I had okay up in the UP for whatever reason. Halloween was like the worst, like between fall and winter. It was that right in between. So it wasn't snowing, but it was cold and rainy or drizzly and windy and dark, okay? And you wouldn't go, back then, you didn't go out like on a Sunday afternoon. You went at like after supper at like, you know, 6:30 or 7 o'clock, you're out there.
Okay.
It's pitch black. The weather's terrible. You can't see out of your mask. And we used to make our own bags. You know, that was a fun thing at school in art class. You have a regular grocery bag. Do you know how many times dragging that thing on the ground when it's wet and you get a hole in there and you come home and say, what happened to that payday bar?
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean? So that's why we switched to the...
Or worse, man, if it was the Kit Kat, I'd go back with a flashlight.
Either one. But that's why we switched to the pillowcases.
Wouldn't miss that. I went to a place one time, and it was after Halloween. And you know those little orange buckets with the handles on?
Yeah.
I bought a ton of them. And... Like I live in the hood, right? Not a lot of lower income.
Right. Five minutes ago, he was talking about he has the full size candy bars because people expect that with his house.
You do,
But, and then he's back.
I want to finish my story here. This is a nice thing. Uh-huh. And some little kids would come and they would have that paper bag or a little bag, and I would give them.
That's actually very nice.
And they were like, I bought a ton of them for like I think they were like 4 cents. It was at the Restore, Unity Hospice, and somebody must have had a bunch and donated them, and I bought them all. And you know, because you want to have some
absolutely
not wet. Because I agree with that. That's what happened in Two Rivers too to us.
Yeah,
the wet bags would.
Devastating. Right there.
But Jim, I picture you handing stuff out at Halloween.
Yeah,
I think it's great that you do the big candy bars. But I could see you handing out linens, Halloween linens.
Or like grabbing the child's pillowcase, like, oh, let me, what is the thread? No, I don't like this. Like, what is the thread cut?
That's not good fabric. That's not a good weave.
Yeah, that'd be like the weirdo in Family Guy. No, we,
well, okay.
Come down to my dish.
Hi,
hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. Let's go down in the basement and get some popsicles.
All right. Let's get back to being a nice guy. So.
Hi, Nikki.
Good morning,
guys. For setting them up. Actually, you had two good guests today. Thank you very much.
Oh, actually, you sound so surprised that I'm just contributing.
No, you had back to back. That was really good.
Right. I don't know a lot of. I know quite a few authors. I think we all do, but illustrators are. That's unique. And I think that's really
anybody
cool.
Anybody can write, not everybody can draw.
But here's the deal. He's more than just an illustrator, he's developing that entire character. Right? So there's so much. There's depth in that.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
And they got to kind of work together, the
absolutely,
characters, you know, they
yes.
got to, and even though they're all abstract, I think that's just some very cool talent.
So, right, fun fact, Rob Momartz was my husband's college roommate.
He mentioned that.
Whitewater. So, we are lucky enough to get his Christmas card, which is always illustrated.
Oh, I bet.
And
that's
so,
cool.
Then it's the illustration of he and his family throughout the stages of their lives,
wow.
right?
Wow.
So I've seen his children grow up in these illustrations.
That's awesome.
But just such a cool...
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those cards where you're like, gosh, I wish I did something cool with my Christmas cards.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. I wish I did something cool with my life.
But to your point, and you were talking about this, Johnny, what I think you try, and because I have the very same mindset too, where you see people with just... gobs of talent in any capacity, and you're like, man, I was hanging out too long in that line for sarcasm and charm and here
charm what happened, why did that go, by the
did
way
did you miss that
yeah
did you miss that line too
that line.
Yeah.
No
mm-hmm.
no
but when I talk to you, I think charm
but this is why I love what your show does, because do we get to talk about, you know, you're in line behind Mr. Momartz at festival probably later today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't scratch the surface on who are you, what do you do, and how did you get to where you are?
Just local
and
people. That's what we love to do.
That's
what I like
about
local people.
Story, guys.
Civic media, as talented as he is and so many other people, they're not going to get on TV because there's just too many fires and car crashes. And look, I understand people, I guess, need to see that. And there's so much national news that they have to cover as well as, you know, statewide. So for us to get down and get this talent that's in our community, and not just talent, but even, you know, we
bring
talk
it
about
to the surface,
but that Feed My Starving Children.
Yes.
I mean, that's a great, great organization. Now, they had a little bit publicity, but just to have her on here and raise money. She's been on here a couple times.
And
I think
you
that's
were
important.
Up to your elbows last night and putting that stuff together.
You were
working
it, man.
How was the confirmation class? Were they listening?
They were very successful.
Great.
But so
did they listen better than Jim and John?
They absolutely did.
Wouldn't take much.
Yep.
Can you believe I did that? I did absolutely the total opposite of what I was supposed to do.
Well, am I shocked? Absolutely not.
And we're all looking at him like, what? Wait for the bag to be under the and he just pours the rice right on the floor. It's like, dude.
If there was ever a Johnny moment, it was.
My Johnny moment was when I crawled through the back hatch of my car to unlock the thing. And actually, I was driving away, I realized that my passenger side window was down, and all I would have had to do was just reach in and unlock. That is a Johnny moment.
That story brings me such delight. I cannot thank you enough.
The thing about Johnny is, that will happen again.
Oh, guaranteed.
He'll crawl through the back. Wow. And, why didn't I remember the window?
Nah.
Anyway, but that there. And thanks for saying that about Civic Media and what they do. But they wanted to talk about the local community, Oshkosh,
but
Appleton.
You guys do such a good job of reining that in for us. So thank you, guys.
Nah, we love it.
Keep bringing them on.
Yep.
Must feel good, doesn't it, Nikki?
It does.
Feels good. Nothing more exhilarating than pointing out the shortcomings of others.
But Jim teaches that class, by the way.
We got some great guests, though, in this next hour. People that.
That, too. Yep. Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin, coming up. Tom Content, Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin.
He's great.
Jim is passionate about this, getting our utility bills down. Back after this.
You're listening.
listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin native writer-director Steve Burrows, who makes our popcorn pick of the week, UP comedian Jessica Phillips, and Oswang director Barry Polterman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Crystal clear water may be toxic. We can't tell if we don't test. $125 million of testing money is stuck in Madison, while polluting businesses sway Republican politicians to choose big business profits over the health of our people. Again, vote Jane Benson for State Assembly District 4 because safe water can't wait.
I'm Jane Benson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Jane Benson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.